hockey. Let's do that hockey.
Ooh, welcome to another edition of the Power Play Podcast. I am your host, the one and only Vinny Milani, and I am with nobody in the studio but on the phone, Anthony the backup. How the hell are you, buddy?
Hey, yo, we are recording a little after hours pod for everyone out there. Vinny's not going to be here this weekend, so we decided that we had to get something out. It's about 1 a.m. on a early Thursday morning, and I am super pumped to talk about what's been going on so far. This is our first pod together since the season started. We have so much to talk about. Let's dive right into it, Vinny. Where we start today, bud?
Well, I'm going to start off with the plugs. You know, I'm going to start off.
Let's go.
Don't forget to follow the boys on all social media platforms at the Power Play Pod. That's Facebook. That's Instagram. That's Twitter. Make sure you check out our new YouTube page where we've got great new video content out. That's at the Power Play Podcast on YouTube. Make sure you smash that subscribe button and let us know what you think of the show on the YouTubes. Now we can get into it, Anthony. I make the plugs quick nowadays. Let's get right into it, Anthony. I have a game for you. Actually, hold on. I'm getting way ahead of myself. We've got a great show ahead of us. We've got start, sits, call-ups. I've got a brand new game that I'm going to hit with Anthony right away. We've got some buy-sells, and we've got our main event, which is our early season takeaways. Loaded show. Let's get into it, Anthony. I've got a little game for you that I'm going to start off here. Maybe we'll make it a thing. But it's testing your hockey knowledge. This is the stupid little knowledge that like not many people know, and it's just useless trivia knowledge, but we for some reason know it. Anthony, the game is the numbers game. And okay. I'm going to give you a jersey number in the league, and you have to tell me a player who wears that jersey currently in the NHL. Are you ready?
Okay.
Are you ready for it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, let's see how many you can get here, bud. Let's see here. So okay. We start off with number 3. Who wears the number 3 in the National Hockey League currently?
Number 3.
Give me one player.
I know Keith Yandel in Florida wears number 3.
Can you give me another one? You got one. That's all I needed, but.
Does Seth Jones?
Seth Jones and D's wear number 3. Yes, he is number.
Oh, there you go. All
he would right. be the number 2. Ding, ding, ding! Anthony gets the first set of numbers right.
If he wore 3 or 2, so good. I'm on a roll here.
You're high. You're
Let's
high.
Go.
I would
Let's
have also
go.
Accepted. I would have also accepted Charlie Coyle of the Minnesota Wild as another take there.
Charlie Coyle doesn't play for the Minnesota.
Oh,
he plays for
Boston now. Damn, he plays.
What are you talking?
He still wears 17 for Boston. I'm pretty sure. So.
All right. We're not talking about 17. We're talking about number 3.
All right, we're next.
What are you talking about?
I'm sorry. I the
You're
list
just off the rails.
The list I had, to be completely honest with you, the list I'm going off of was. Oh, wait a second. There's a 1920 list. Oh, perfect. Perfect.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead and do that, bud.
All right. Number 17. Who wears number 17? I want two from you. And
two.
It cannot be Jesper Fast. It cannot be Quickie.
Brandon Dubinsky.
Done. Give me another one.
I honestly have no idea who else wears 17.
Milan Lucic, Wayne Simmons, yeah, a lot of great guys.
I definitely wouldn't know any of those guys.
Milan Lucic wears 17, Wayne Simmons wears 17, Matt Martin wears 17, and Harvard grad Alex Killorn wears 17 for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, I definitely would not have known any of that.
All right, so we're going up the list. We're going all the way up to number 90. Who wears number 90 in the league, bud?
Number 90.
90.
Oof.
There is a let's just say that there is a Stanley Cup champion that wears number 90.
Okay, so Ryan O'Reilly wears
Bingo.
Number 90. Good job of memory. Vlad Nemestnikov used to, but I don't know what his new number will be in Ottawa.
That is true. There's one more. There's another big name player that – not a big name player, but another player that wears number 90, and he's in Montreal. I'll let you have that little hint.
I don't know who wears number 90 in Montreal.
Tomas Tatar.
Yeah, I did not know that.
He wears number 90. And now we're finishing it up, Anthony, with your number 34, and I will not accept Austin Matthews.
Does anyone else wear it that's not a goalie?
It doesn't have to be. It can be a goalie. I did not specify that. But what – because this one was the weird one because I think of 34 and I'm like, okay, there's got to be goalies that – lots of goalies are named goalies that wear number 34. And I'll tell you this. There are only two goaltenders on this list that are well-known goaltenders.
I mean, I know Jake Allen and St. Louis is 34.
Bingo.
And – Peter Mrazek.
Oh, wow. What a wicked – are you gooksing over there, buddy?
No, I'm honest. I don't even have my computer. We're doing this over the phone. I don't even have my computer up.
That's unreal, bud. You actually got that right. I'm very impressed.
Yeah. It's my number, so I notice it more in the NHL. And there might be more guys. I just don't know. Those are the only guys I can think of.
That's fair. No, that's fair. You did very well. You did surprisingly well. Yeah. And that's the kind of stuff I was talking about though. Like we know this like useless information like jersey numbers.
I know a lot of pointless information.
Yeah.
That no one's ever gonna need. I'm your guy.
Exactly, exactly. Next week we may bring that segment back. Maybe you'll quiz me with some numbers.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll turn the tables next week and try to get you good on some obscure numbers.
You kind of clean swept. You kind of did the clean sweep on me on this one.
Yeah. Well, I've been watching, dude, since the season started. I've been watching games every night. My only gripe is this: I'm gonna have to call NHL.
No, don't do it. 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 It's gonna come up later on in the show. I promise.
All right. Well, I'll leave it at that thing. Go ahead.
And that we will go on into. We will go on into the starts, the sits, and the call-ups. Anthony, what do you got? What are you hitting us with a wild card?
Let me open up my notes here.
Wait a second. You won't be able to hear this, but
– Wild card.
I did the bread drop of the wild card. It was great.
Nice. I keep that rolling throughout.
All right. I will. I'll make sure I do it.
All right. So I'm gonna do it in true wild card fashion here. I'm going to start with my sit. I'm starting to with my sit because it's one of the dumber things I've seen in the first few games here. Kasperi Kapanen of the Toronto Maple Leafs throws his stick at Jeff Petrie, and Jeff Petrie is awarded a penalty shot in which he scores on, and the Maple Leafs go on to lose that game in a shootout. Carey Price shuts the door on the shootout, and that goal turns out to be a huge difference maker. So sitting the youngster. Later on in that sequence, one Max Domi is spotted 20 calling tux
Max Domi.
20 tucks Max Domi is spotted calling Kapanen an effing idiot, which is fantastic. Moving on to my call up, I'm calling up Patrick Marleau.
Wild card
signs a very team friendly deal with the San Jose Sharks, who are struggling early on. $700,000 for the 1 year deal, and he's coming back to play some hockey.
He is returning to San Jose.
I'm excited. I've always been a Patrick Marleau fan. For that price and for what he can still bring to the table, I really think he can't hurt them. He can only help them for that price and for the role that I know he can play.
Oh, for sure. And I think they need. I think they could definitely use that to replace Joe Pavelski.
Absolutely. Moving on to my start, wild card fashion. I'm finishing with my start. Blake Coleman of the New Jersey Devils. This kid scored two goals the other night against Winnipeg. Before that, he ended up losing eight teeth after taking a teammate Taylor Hall's stick to the mouth. Oof. They had to pull fiberglass out of his jaw, out of his gums. Oof. And comes back, scores a goal in his next shift.
Oh my God, what a legend. So was that
if that's not worthy of a start, I don't know what is.
So was that the goal that was like the one-handed sick, like the absolute filthy goal that was like scored in that game?
I believe that was, yes. I believe that was
That was such an unreal goal, like that one-handed goal.
I've had some people ask, well, is it skill or luck? And I think it's a little bit of both, but I think it has a lot to do with hustle. He outworked the defenseman, hustled, got to the puck, and made a play. Whether it's lucky or not that it went in is whatever, but you can't deny the hard work and hustle that went into getting it there.
So let me ask you, from a goalie standpoint, what do you it's embarrassing. It's got to be embarrassing, obviously.
No. When you talk about wild card, that's a wild card shot. You have no idea when it's coming, how it's coming. It was a crazy shot. I don't blame the goal. It was Brassois in net that night. I don't blame him at all for that goal. That was just a weird sequence. His D-man should have had his back on that. It would have been nice for him to come up with a save. But as a goalie, I know how hard it is to stop shots like that where you have no – it was on the backhand even.
Yeah.
You had no idea how fast that's coming. It's it was just a weird shot. I don't fault the goalie on that at all, actually.
It's just unpredictable for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I think to an average fan, that may be on the goaltender, especially it's easy to blame a backup goaltender. But to me, that's a very tough shot to face, and I don't blame him at all.
I'm glad you kind of brought up that take, because I feature something along those lines in my start sits call ups this week. Oh, now that was a solid start sit call up. We move on to mine.
Let's go.
And I'm starting Sid the Kid, Sidney Crosby, dropping the mitts with Pierre-Luc Dubois of the Columbus Blue Jackets. When the Pittsburgh Penguins took on the Columbus Blue Jackets, Pierre-Luc Dubois laid a pretty high hit on Jake Guentzel of the Pittsburgh Penguins. And who do you see step up in the next play? Sidney Crosby dropping the mitts with Pierre-Luc Dubois to stick up for his teammate and just like put his – I mean, we know the history of Sidney Crosby and his concussions. He's willing to put all that aside to stick up for his teammates. I did on the last show my top 10 captains in the league, and Sidney Crosby was number one. This is
he's got to be.
This is one of my biggest reasons why he does these kinds of things. And a lot of people, I talked to a few friends about Sidney Crosby dropping gloves, and they didn't see it, and they were all surprised that it wasn't like a cheap shot, like Sidney Crosby fight that we've seen before.
He dropped the mitts with a guy who's 4 inches taller than him. Hung in there and got the Pittsburgh faithful going nuts afterwards.
And they
ended up scoring 7 goals and just absolutely destroying the Blue Jackets.
And he didn't sucker them. It was a fair fight all the way through.
Absolutely.
It was solid for sure.
Absolutely. So, honestly, like, he's not known to be a fighter, but I would not want to be there with Sidney Crosby as strong as he is. It's like a bull coming at you. No way.
Well, I mean, you definitely saw it in the fight too. I mean, he knocked down Dubois. He brought him.
He muscled him to the ground.
He outmuscled him right to the ground. It was great to see Sidney Crosby getting the start for dropping the mitts. And now my sit, and this is where you talking about fans criticizing the backup goalie for letting such a softy in. I'm sitting in the stands coaching, and let me explain. There are too many times where I see and hear at games or online fans trying
a lot to, of comments, a lot of comments,
trying to tell the players how to play the game, when to shoot the puck, when to pass the puck, when to do this, when to do that. And it just drives me insane. Like, I'm guilty of this at times. I am not going to be a hypocrite. I do this at times, but it's just not good. It's just a real tough look when you spend 60 minutes of a 60-minute hockey game complaining about what like people not shooting the puck on a power play. Like, it's mind-blowing. I saw this online the other day. A few Iceman fans were complaining about the Iceman power play being too passive and passing all the time. And yeah, I'm like,
and that's a whole different animal in itself, because being on an ECHL roster, there's so much turnover from year to year, sometimes from month to month. Gaining chemistry to create a very effective power play is damn near impossible.
Yeah, oh, exactly. And it's just like,
because that's what it's all about, chemistry on the power play.
Yeah, and exactly. But a lot of people need to take a step back when thinking about power plays and realize that you have a man advantage for 2 minutes. You want to settle the puck down and pick your spots properly. I was in my men's league game on Sunday. Shout out. We had an empty net and a power play. So it was like a 6-on-4. And I'm like telling my guys, let's slow it down. And everyone wants to shoot the puck right away. And I'm like, slow the game down. Like, I understand we're down in the game, but like, you have so much time on the power play to pick your spots. Don't yell shoot up. Don't yell shoot. So I'm sitting in the stands coaches for yelling shoot and things like that. Even the in the stands refs drive me nuts. Drop the puck.
Drives me nuts.
Yeah, that's,
it's a bit unnecessary. We've talked about that on here before. I understand getting antsy, especially like if it's a one goal game in the third period. You're as a fan, I get antsy. I get it. But at the same time, you have to trust the guys who are on the ice. And
exactly.
There's really nothing you could do about it anyways. And a lot of the time, a guy's not shooting or he's hesitating to shoot because there's no lane.
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense to just shoot it into the guy's shin pads and then the puck's going the other way.
Exactly. So just take a step back on those power plays and let the pros work it out.
Absolutely.
And now my call-up, so I'm sitting those in the sand coaches, and now my call-up is something that I promised you earlier I would talk about, Anthony. I'm calling up Rangers hockey because – we have only seen two games from the Rangers on the Thursday and the Saturday, and they have 7 days off. They have a full week off to start the season. They played two games. They were not in China. They were not in Europe. They were not anywhere fancy. They were home, and they were away game in Ottawa. They had two games, and they have 7 days off before they play Edmonton.
And then they don't play again until Thursday after that. So they have another 5 days off after that.
So
which is weird. We've seen in the 2012, like 2014, the Garden was undergoing renovations. So there were days in between games because they couldn't play at home. But there's really no excuse for that this year. I know every team gets like a week off. I guess the Rangers is right at the beginning, is not going to help them at all as the season grows. So that kind of sucks.
It doesn't make any sense, and it sucks as a Ranger fan right now. It's because obviously the Rangers played Ottawa in the second game, but it's just something about this team right now that makes Rangers fans very excited, and now you have to wait a whole week before you see them again. It's just like, drives me nuts. So I'm calling
especially when you have the guys rolling like that. Zibanejad was rolling. He had all that momentum. It sucks he's got to now sit out a week.
First star. He was almost my start of the week because he was the first star of the week. He had four points in the first game. He had 8 points in two games.
Yeah, that's an unreal start. Absolutely.
It's absolutely unreal. So my starts, my sits, my call-ups, I started Sid the Kid for a drop in the mitts. I'm sitting in the stand coaches, and I'm calling up New York Rangers hockey. That's the starts, sits, call-ups. Anthony, it is now time. It's main event time here, buddy. It's a late night.
Before we get into that, because you told me to hang on and wait, and I did.
Oh.
And your call-up wasn't exactly what I had in mind.
Oh, really?
As far as – yeah, no, that wasn't at all what I was talking about. So let me just give a dishonorable mention to NHL and the NHL.tv app/.com, whatever you want to call it. For whatever reason this season, to this point, I cannot watch multiple games at one time.
Really?
And that is a huge part of my hockey watching experience, is I'll get four of the 7 o'clock games going at once. I'll have usually the two 10 o'clock games going at once. And that's how I like to watch the games. I go back and forth. I like to check out all the goals, go back if I need to. And I haven't been able to do that, and it's taking me a lot longer to take in all the games because now I'm having to go back, catch the highlights of games that I could have just been watching to begin with.
That may be a personal problem, bud, because I was in dual screen mode the other night.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then we're gonna have to talk about that off air to see what I'm doing wrong because I can't find where it says to select multiple screens.
Yeah, no, I don't remember. Yeah, we'll have to definitely talk about it off air. But I was able to get it. But it is. I mean, that's a part of. I actually caught some heat on opening night because I was watching wrestling instead of hockey. But in reality, I had the dual screen action going on opening night.
If you got the dual screen, you're multitasking. You're getting it going. I have absolutely no problem with that.
So the dual screen definitely comes in clutch. If there is an actual problem with it, figure it out.
I'm definitely trying to figure it out.
No, not you. The league.
Yeah, they need to. Their NHL.tv app has actually been disappointing in recent years, but I don't have time to go into all that right now. Let's move on to the main event.
We're kind of leading up to the main event because I completely forgot a segment. It's late at night. You can forgive me, right?
You forgot a segment on the After Hours pod.
Exactly. It's time, Anthony. It's time for the buy and the sell. We're bringing it back. We had some buy sells in our divisional previews. We're bringing the buy sells back. The early season buy sell, and I'm starting off with your start of the week, Patrick Marleau. Getting the – was that your – yeah, that was – no, no, that was your call-up. Sorry.
I called him up.
So we're starting off our buy-sell with your call-up, actually. Patrick Marleau will help lead the San Jose Sharks to the Cup. Are you buying or selling that?
selling, 100% selling. I think he'll help them out. He's not the missing puzzle piece to them winning the Stanley Cup. They got off to a slow start. I think they're going to be much improved from that slow start. I think that their Stanley Cup window has closed, especially with trading away a couple of pieces. But getting him back and getting Evander Kane back will be huge helps to their team. Right now, I think their biggest weakness is goaltending.
Oh, it is.
So 100%. if Martin Jones can find his rhythm, they'll be just fine.
All right.
Again, I don't see them winning the Stanley Cup, but I do see them being very competitive this year, probably making the playoffs. So I wouldn't, if I'm a San Jose fan, I'm definitely not panicking this early in the season.
All right, let's make a trade here. Trade deadline comes up. You're pulling up your New York Rangers GM armchair, all that nonsense. And San Jose comes a call in for Henrik Lundqvist. They offer like two first-round picks and a prospect, one of their higher prospects, for Henrik Lundqvist. You doing that deal?
First of all, that's crazy. They wouldn't do that. Second of all, Henrik Lundqvist has already said he's not going anywhere.
That's fair. Okay. So that's okay. Very all right. Way to kill it, buddy. Way to kill it.
To be honest,
I would do it. Either way, I would do it.
Of course, you do it, but that's not going to happen.
Get Hank the cup.
That's not worth talking about because it's not going to happen.
All right, buy or sell. We'll talk about this team a little bit later when we go into our main event preview. Buy or sell, John Cooper will be fired by December.
I'm selling that. Tampa Bay is going to be very good this year. They'll probably pace themselves more. Vazzy's probably going to see a lot less of the net. They're going to make the playoffs easy. They're going to be great. He's not a great coach, but the team is very, very good. They'll make the playoffs. They'll be fine. They should be real hungry, ready to just get this season going. They're probably going to be at the top of the standings again. And that being said, if they're at the top of the standings, there's no reason to fire a guy you just gave a 5-year extension to.
Well, I mean, you look at what St. Louis did last year when they fired Mike Gill and brought in and promoted Craig Berube to be the head coach. And we saw
I don't see it getting they fired a coach because the team was literally in last place at the start of the new year. Well, the Lightning will not be anywhere close to that.
I mean, they've looked I don't know if you've watched any of the Tampa games, but they look bad.
I actually haven't watched any of the Tampa games because another thing, NHL.tv has those games as out of market games, so I haven't been watching any of those.
So they played Carolina the other night, and like I said, we'll get into this a little bit later on.
They lost in overtime, right?
They lost to Carolina, and they had two shots in the final two periods of the game.
Yeah, it's very early, similar to the Sharks. If I'm a Lightning fan, I'm not hitting the panic button. Again, their coach isn't great, but the team is so good. Stamkos is still one of the best players in the league. I really think they're going to be fine. I have I'm not worried about them at all.
That's fair. And like I said, I want to get into a little bit more detail when we get into the main event. But let's move on here. So it's back again. The Matthew Tkachuk, Drew Doughty rivalry is back at it, and Drew Doughty has come out and said that basically Matthew Tkachuk is overrated. That he's not even that good. He thinks he's good, but he's not that good. He came out and said it. The video's everywhere. Buy or sell, yeah. Matthew Tkachuk is overrated.
I'm selling that. I think Matthew Tkachuk is awesome. And just the fact that he's got Doughty talking about him like that tells me he's not overrated. He's doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing. Doughty kind of won the battle the other night. Gave the Hulk Hogan listening to the crowd Selly after he closed it out in overtime in Calgary. I don't think that's going to matter. I think Calgary is going to be much higher than them in the standings at the end of the season.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And Matthew Tkachuk, again, doing his job, having Doughty, you know, worried enough to talk about him.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely selling the fact that he's overrated.
Yeah, I would agree. I like Matthew Tkachuk a lot. I mean, you saw it when the Rangers played Brady Tkachuk on Saturday. It was basically the same exact stuff. I was like, God.
Yeah, both of them are you know, two peas in a pod. They're just little rats out there, and they do their job. Brady Tkachuk in front of the net causes so much havoc.
No.
It's awful for opposing teams. They're going to be, you know, I said earlier that they're not going to be the worst team in hockey, but they just might be. I'm watching them play against the Rangers. They just might be the worst team in hockey. But Brady Tkachuk is a bright spot on a really bad team. And him, watching him in front of the net, just shows that there is some kind of bright future in there, because the way he creates havoc, it's going to create scoring chances, and it did actually create a goal against the Rangers.
It did.
One goal against.
Yeah, no, it did. It did. So moving on here, we got two more buy-sells. We'll go through them pretty quickly. So James Neal had four goals the other night.
The real deal.
For the Edmonton Oilers. James Neal is the real deal for Edmonton. Buy or sell?
I'm going to buy that. He's already got, six goals on the season?
Yep.
It took him till March to get six goals on the season in the season with Calgary. He was hurt last year. What we're seeing now is the James Neal we've seen for years. So I just think he's back to form. He's going to be great. I think the team is going to be good. The way they're playing right now, I know it's only three games in, but the way they're playing right now and the way that guy's rolling, I think they're going to be a good, very competitive team this year.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean,
I think he's going to be a big part of it.
I think he is going to be a huge part for Edmonton moving forward for sure. Now, Anthony, let's do it here. Let's wrap this up. Last one. This is my favorite one. Buy or sell, Vegas and San Jose is the best rivalry in hockey right now.
Right now, yeah, absolutely. And when Evander Kane comes back and they have to play again, it's going to be even better.
Oh yeah. 100%. I'm so excited for that. So I'm buying that as well. Now, yeah. Anthony,
you got Ryan Reeves ripping Kane in interviews like it's like the WWE. It's amazing.
When you come back on the show, when we get back together for a show, we're going to play the video clip of that. Ryan Reeves said. I'm sure everyone has seen that at this point, but it needs to be shown.
We need to play it with like the Rock's music in the background.
It's
or something.
So great.
If you can edit that, that'd be amazing. Because he cut it like a wrestling promo.
He did. It was fantastic.
Yeah, so, and Ryan Reeves has everything he needs to back it up.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
So now we move on here to the main event of the show. It is the early season takeaways. And Anthony, let's kick it off with you. What is one of your biggest early season takeaways?
I got a couple here. I got Dallas Eakins, a guy who we talked about in the offseason, hired by the Ducks. There was some concern because of his previous track record with the Edmonton Oilers. But to this point, he's shutting a lot of people up. They're 3-0. They look good. They're getting the goaltending they've gotten, which helps. John Gibson's been consistent.
Oh, yeah.
And now he's getting a little help in the scoring department. That definitely helps, and they look good. So that's one early season takeaway. Now, I think that they're getting off to a hot start, probably going to slow down a bit. The West is just too good for them to keep that up. But for right now, he's looking good, and I think that the Ducks fans are very happy with the way the season started, very surprised as well, as I think we all are. And I'd like to give a little early shout-out to Carter Hart, goaltender for the Philadelphia Flyers.
Oh, what a save tonight. Holy shit.
Yeah, huge save. He got a shutout. That was a huge save on the power play. At the time, it was 1-0. So a huge save for Carter Hart there.
On Taylor Hall, the glove save. It was unreal.
Yeah, on Taylor Hall, who knows how to score, not just anyone. So he's a huge part of that team. The team is scoring. He's playing great. I think the Flyers are going to be – the way they're playing, I don't see – it's like you can see the Ducks slowing down because they're who they have to play. But I think the Flyers are going to be very good. I think that – they're going to be in that top three in the conference or in their division, and they're going to make the playoffs pretty easily. I think they're going to do well. They have a lot of good pieces there. They picked up Kevin Hayes, who got a goal tonight.
Yep.
They have Claude Giroux, who's, you know, Sidney Crosby is the best captain in the game. He's arguably in that top five.
I had him at three.
I think that's a great spot for him. He's an awesome captain. They're a good team, and I think they're the real deal this year.
Yeah, and that's
they're a contender.
The save that Carter Hart had, though, what made it so great though was the fact that, like, you know, you see these like phenomenal saves, and sometimes it's just like a player, he literally just shot it right into his glove.
No, that was
but
a
Carter
save.
Hart. Carter Hart got that puck out of the air, and that's what made that save so special.
Yeah, he saved a goal from one of the NHL's best goal scorers.
Yeah, definitely. And those are a few of your takeaways.
A couple of big takeaways for me thus far. There are more, but go ahead. What you got?
I've got two takeaways as well, and one is minor. One is minor, and that is the Buffalo Sabres their special jerseys this year, their alternate jerseys with the white gloves. I like them. I like them a lot.
They are growing on me as well. They do look good in them. They've also had a pretty decent start to their season. I think they're, what, 2-0-1 right now?
I believe so.
Right?
I believe
I think they're 3-0-1. They beat Montreal tonight in overtime, so they're 3-0-1. So they're starting really well. They have points in each of their first four games. They did this at the beginning of last season, so we'll see if they can keep it up. But things are looking good for them right now. Hopefully they can keep it up. I did have them making the playoffs, contrary to pretty much
everyone
saying. None of the guys on Chicklets have them making the playoffs. Some of the other outlets I've listened to don't have them making the playoffs, but I think that they're going to squeak in. I still think that. I think this hot start is going to help them.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's going to be definitely interesting to see on the road to the Stanley Cup playoffs with the Buffalo Sabres, see if it can continue. Now, another team that is, oh man, this is what I talked about earlier, and it's time to get into it. The Tampa Bay Lightning struggles at the beginning of the season have been very, very alarming, in my opinion. I said this earlier that they dropped the game to the Carolina Hurricanes. They didn't look good in the game. They only produced two shots within the last two periods of the game. And you see it now in Vegas. Vegas is a team that had their playoffs end in controversy last season, and it looks like they're fired up and they're playing fired up to start the season. Now, Tampa had a similar thing. It just wasn't like controversial, but it was a big.
Yeah, I was gonna say controversial isn't really the right word.
But it was a big blow, and you think that would have motivated them.
It was very surprising. Yes, they had a long summer to think about what they did.
The thing in common here with Vegas is that their playoffs ended in something that could motivate them towards next season, and we're seeing Vegas play motivated. We're seeing Vegas. Oh, I mean, Vegas beat San Jose back on like back to back games, and only allowed
those
one.
Those were emotional victories. Those were emotional victories.
And you would think Tampa would have fired back at that same level. They played Carolina, the team that knocked them out. Oh no, Columbus knocked them out of the playoffs. But they played
in four.
They played Carolina, and
Carolina is. Contrary to what I think even I believe and a lot of other people believe, Carolina is still a good team. They look good. They're playing as a team. Jordan Staal has been a good captain to this point.
Don't get me wrong.
And
I'm not.
I think credit should be given there. Also, it's a little different with the Lightning compared to the Vegas Golden Knights, because the Lightning were so good in the regular season last year. It's almost like they know now. It's almost like they're going to be. Going forward, they're just going to be a playoff team, I think. I don't think you're going to see these unreal regular season numbers, because we saw that with the Capitals and we've seen it with the Sharks, where they went many, many years where they're just dominating in the regular season and couldn't get it done in the playoffs. And I think maybe the Lightning are seeing that earlier than those two teams did, and they're not as jacked up right now for the regular season. I think they're good enough to make the playoffs, whether they have a hot start or not. I think they're good enough to make the playoffs, and they have one of the best rosters in the entire league,
and
not just the conference. So if they make the playoffs, which I can't see them missing, I think they're going to be fine. And I think the less they stay out of that number one spotlight in the regular season, honestly, the better for them.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up about the talent on the team. After the loss to the Carolina Hurricanes, Steven Stamkos was interviewed asking to talk about the loss.
I heard he ripped his team a
bit. Said,
I didn't listen to it, quote, but I quote, heard they that were, he ripped his team.
They were outclassed, and they continue to be the freewheeling team that thinks that we can just come into games and win because we're skilled. That's what Stamkos said.
Last year, that did work a lot. It just didn't work in the playoffs when the games are much tighter and the intensity level got brought up a notch. They couldn't match it.
But he's,
I think, facing adversity again. Another point: facing adversity this early in the season is also going to be good for them.
I think
learning how to lose now, learning what's working, how to compete in tight games.
And that's what brings me to my point about John Cooper possibly getting the axe before December. they are facing that adversity. And if that adversity continues, then it's going to have to you're going to have to eventually consider giving John Cooper the boot. Because, I mean, their next – let's take a look at their next few games. Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, Boston, Colorado, Pittsburgh, and Nashville. Those games, those are all real tough games. And they can easily end the month of October with maybe two wins. That's really rough for a team that you would think would enter October fired up because of what happened last season. And that's just,
I think it's almost the opposite. I think that because of their great success in the regular season last year and their abysmal playoff performance, I think that they're going to start from going forward in the years they have left at being a top contender. I think that they're going to be a playoff team. They're not going to be that prolific regular season team because I think that they have a bad taste in their mouth from doing that last year. And on top of that, they were so good last year. It is so hard to repeat something.
Oh yeah, it's gonna
of that level. It's just highly unlikely that they're going to be that good. It's highly unlikely. I said this at the beginning of the season, and people laughed at me, but before the season started, when we looked at our was it top 10 centers?
Yes.
Or wingers? Sorry, with Nikita Kucherov, his numbers were so good last year. I statistically speaking, it's highly unlikely he repeats that.
Dude, oh my god, thank you for bringing up Nikita Kucherov for a second though. I saw
he's a great player and he's going to continue to be great. I'm not saying that. Statistically speaking, it is highly unlikely to have that type of season multiple years in a row unless you're a Sidney Crosby, Alexander Ovechkin type guy, and I think he's just a tier under that.
Well, I saw a post Sportsnet did their top 50 players in the league. And their top three, Connor McDavid, Nikita Kucherov, and then Sidney Crosby. And I was like, what?
I don't see how they could possibly say that.
This is mind-blowing, man. It's just mind-blowing.
Obviously I disagree with that just because the history with Sidney Crosby is there where he's just – a dominating force. He doesn't have to even score in a game
to have his
presence felt to make an impact. And that's the difference that I think that maybe whoever was making that article didn't take into account. And then sometimes I guess it's not meant to be taken into account, but there's no denying if you were doing a draft and for the playoffs and you wanted a guy on your team.
Oh, it's Sidney Crosby all the way.
It's definitely a close race between Crosby and McDavid. I think Kucherov, given his history, is a far third, maybe even a fourth to those two guys.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. Now, with the Tampa Bay Lightning, we'll have to see if they end up – what they end up doing from here on out in the season. You want to beat ups bet me real quick? John Cooper's gone by December.
Yeah, I'll beat ups bet that easy because he'll be there. The team's too good for. I don't think we're gonna see a St. Louis Blues type season from them where they're just all of a sudden really great because they get a new coach. I think the talent's there. They'll make Cooper look good when they need to, and his job is fine at least for this year.
That's fair. That's fair. On that note, Anthony, that's it. I think that's it. Is there anything else you want?
I think we covered a pretty good amount of hockey here for the first part of the season, and I'm very, very excited that this is what we're going to be talking about every week now.
Oh yeah,
we're not going to be talking about what we think is going to happen or what could happen. We're going to be talking about what's actually happened, and that excites me to no end.
And we've got the ECHL season coming up. We got the Icemen start on Saturday.
This Saturday. We'll both be there.
I will not be there. Nope. Don't you?
Oh yeah, you're going to be out of town this weekend.
I will be out of town this weekend.
Shoot. Yeah. Well, yeah. I'll be there. I'm taking the wife. I think mom's coming. So
yeah.
Mom's coming. So we'll
mom and power
have
play.
A good time. I'm very much looking forward to the Icemen season and watching some pro hockey right here in Jacksonville. Win or lose, it's just awesome to see that level of play right in front of your eyes. There's nothing better.
Yeah, it's definitely great to see. We're excited that the season's back. Hockey's back, folks. This is what it's going to be for the rest of the season. You're not going to want to be with any other podcast. Well, actually, There's one podcast I want to bring up here as we round out the show.
There's many podcasts. We're not trying to be the Hitler podcast here. Listen to as much hockey as you can. I'm definitely here to tell you that.
There's something though that I wanted to bring up that it's been going around our Twitter. If you follow us at the Power Play Podcast on Twitter, you will see the constant back and forth between us and the Black and Gold Pod, the Boston Bruins podcast done by Mark. He's a great dude. He's always posting love for our show along with many other shows.
He actually has a great podcast. If you're a Bruins fan,
even if you're not a Bruins fan, check it out, man. It's.
But if you are, I can't think of one that does a better job of not only talking about the NHL club, but covering their prospects in the AHL and even the Atlanta Gladiators, who we see a lot here in Jacksonville. He was talking about a goalie prospect that's going to be playing with Atlanta. So I'm actually excited now because I listened to that. I'm excited to come see him play here because I know he's a prospect for the Bruins.
Yeah, they're great guys definitely over there at the Black and Gold Pod. They've created a hashtag now, the hashtag Podern Family, and that is something that we can get rolling here. I love the support from everyone.
Yeah, which is what I'm saying. Listen to as much hockey podcasts as you possibly can.
Support everyone.
The more information
support
you can get, the better.
Yeah, exactly. Support everyone. Support us. Don't forget to follow us on all of our social media platforms at the Power Play Pod, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube page at the Power Play Podcast and let us know what you think of that as well. On that note, folks, Anthony, you got anything else for us?
That's it. This was a good pod. I hope everyone enjoy our little after hours pod on a late Wednesday night. Vinny, when are you going to have this out for everybody?
I'm going to have it out now because I'm just editing the show, and then I have three video assignments to do for my school that I have to do before I go to bed tonight. So
get good luck on those. Get those done. And I just want to let our listeners know there's no YouTube this week because we recorded via the phone, yes. So we did not do any actual video recording. So we won't be on YouTube, but we will be everywhere else.
Everywhere else. It's iTunes, SoundCloud, Player FM, Stitcher, Spotify, all those good podcasting platforms. You can check us out on it. For Anthony Milani, I am the one and only Vinny Milani. Thank you for listening, and have a good night or day whenever you're listening, or morning.
See ya. I thought you were gonna say more. You kind of trailed off there. I was like, oh, is he done? All right, he's done.